Welcome to Milkshake Mondays, episode 6. We're going to be in a really serious topic, but at the same time, I want you all to realize that it's just you and I. You're in the privacy of wherever you are, but I want you to really open your heart to hear from the Lord. We're going to start out in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. I'm going to go to 16 and we're going to skip around a little bit, but then we're going to end at 26. I title this tonight, Taking Your Impossible to God. And the reason why I started thinking about this subject is that a lot of things are going on in life. I happened to hear just a couple days ago that a young 18-year-old boy killed himself, committed suicide. I'm not trying to bring you down, but in hearing some of the stories and going to the funerals and talking to people who use the lie of, I'm fine, how you doing? I'm fine. A lot of us are not fine, but we want to pretend. But I want to talk to you in the context of taking whatever's going on in your life right now, those impossible situations, to God and working things out with the Lord. But before you can get to that, we have to talk about what's going on between you and God. So I want to start with Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, and it reads, And behold, one came and said unto him, talking about Jesus Christ, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Remember that, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt not do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? This is something that you and I both, all of us, need to ask Christ. But when you ask Christ a question like that, you need to be prepared to hear his answer, because he's going to tell you the truth about yourself. And so when he asks this question, he almost wants to get a pat on the back. He says, I've already done all this stuff. I'm good. But look what it says. It says here, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, If thou would be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I want you to skip over to verse 25, and then we'll end with 26. When his disciples heard it, and basically he was talking about what was going on with that rich person, it's not about richness. I don't want you to get sidetracked. But it's saying that in order for us to have the relationship that God wants us to have, he wants us to keep his commandments. And that there are things in our lives, individually, my lack could be different than your lack. But he's saying, in order to have that, you have to be honest with God and let God be honest with you. And so it says here, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then could be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Two things I want you to look at on this scripture before we go into the character I want us to study tonight. God said, keep the commandments. For some of us, there are some things in our lives that are making it impossible, so we think, to have a relationship with Christ. It could be that we're overwhelmed with the circumstances of our relationships that are going to the pot. Some of our finances are going off track. The finances are shot. We're in a bad fix with how we feel about ourselves. We're too fat, we're too skinny, we're ugly, we're dark, we're light. All these things going on in our mind that are lies from the devil. The devil has got us so upside down. I've been upside down in my life where I remember working and being in love with somebody who was addicted to something. And I was saying, I was so overwhelmed. I said I couldn't overcome it. It was impossible. Well, there are things in all of our lives that we think are impossible. But God says, nothing is impossible with him. He wants us to take our impossibles to him, and with him, all things are possible. He said, there's another thing. He wants us to keep the commandments, but there's something in the scriptures that we've all heard since our youth about don't lie, don't bear false witness. But we lie to ourselves all the time. I heard somebody say, I don't need Jesus Christ. He actually said it at 7 a.m, I'm just getting to work, and he said, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. That whole Jesus thing, I don't believe it. That's something that these people have lied to us about. And I was saying, wow, in his life and in many of our lives, we find that we are lying to ourselves about some really important things. Well, what does that have to do with taking your apostle to God? I want to give you an example of one of our brothers in the scripture. And this brother had a situation that over the passage of time, and that's what happens with our impossibilities. It starts as something that may be small and it grows to be huge. So huge that we think it's bigger than God. That nobody will understand. Nobody will forgive. It's too shameful. It's too tragic. It's too overwhelming that you can't handle it, and sure, you think that God can handle it, but with God, all things are possible. But I want to tell you a story that starts in Genesis 37 about our brother Joseph. Many of us have heard of the story of Joseph, but I would challenge you to take even 15 or 20 minutes after this broadcast to go and read in Genesis 37 to 50 and see what happened to this young 17-year-old boy who grew to be a man. He has a family. The family has different mothers, but the same father. But in this family, there's dysfunction. Like a lot of our families, there's dysfunction. And there's hate for one another, envy for one another. But what Joseph did, he told his brothers, hey, one day you guys, y'all gonna be bowing to me. It's gonna be a circumstance where you're gonna be less and I'm gonna be higher. They didn't like that, they hated it. They didn't really like him from the start because he tattled on them. But then he goes and has another dream, a second dream, and he tells his mom and dad, the moon and the stars in this dream, they're going to be bound to me too. And the father says, wait a second, your brothers and your mom and dad, they kind of take him back. Well, there's already a situation that they don't like Joseph. So there's a relationship that seems impossible to repair because there's hatred and envy in the family. Well, the brothers, as you know the story, don't like him enough that they want to kill him. But they decide to put him in a pit. Why is in a pit? You can imagine some of the pits in our lives. We think there's no way we can get out of those pits. It's impossible. But as providence of the Lord, he's not killed then. The brothers take him out. They sell him into slavery. He goes from being a free man, and then now he's in slavery. He's in freedom, and then he's in bondage. That's not easy. For him, it's an impossible situation. He's now away from all of his family. He knows his brothers hated him and had such an animosity to him that they were willing to have him killed, but instead of killing him, they sell him like he's nothing. He finds himself employed, not really employed, he's a slave. He's in the house of Potiphar, the captain of the guard, doing a great job. God shows him favor. And you think, oh, all life is going good. In some of our lives, we have a moment where things are going okay. Bad circumstances change. But then the lady of the house says, he looks fine. I want that. Has sex with me. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. Over and over and over and over and over. For finally, when she's rejected, she lies and says that he tried to assault her or rape her. So, of course, the husband gets angry, throws him in prison. The man is in prison. He's not a man. He's a young man from 17. And they said in the Bible that he was a young man. So can you imagine your life is derailed to the point you're away from your family? You've been sold by the people that are supposed to be your family. You were doing a good job, then somebody lied on you, and now you're in prison. And people think, oh, he was just in prison for a little bit of time. He had enough time in prison as a young man where God showed favor, and the keeper of the prison said, you're in charge of everything. But then you remember the story where the butler and the baker come down, and they said they spent a season in the ward. So that season is a process of time, a passage of time. But this guy is probably going through a lot. But you don't see a lot of complaint by by Joseph. But what happens is there's a moment where the butler is restored. And they said 2 full years had passed since Joseph had talked to that butler and interpreted his dream. Now imagine the possibilities that are going on in Joseph's mind. It's impossible probably for me to ever see my family again. I'm a prisoner. I'm a slave. I'm in a prison. My life, what kind of life is this? I don't have a family. I don't have a wife. I don't have a children. You can imagine how much overwhelming feelings this young guy was going through. So in the passage of time, as you go and read those scriptures, you'll see that there was a dream that the Pharaoh had twice and that Joseph was able, through God, he didn't say it was because of me. He didn't puff up and say, hey, I'm all this in a bag of chips. He said, because of God, God has given you the revelation of what this dream means. And then he gets elevated to the position where, if you remember in chapter 37, he had those dreams and those dreams came to pass. But one of the things I want you to look at, if you can, in chapter 41, in chapter 41 of Genesis, it talks about Joseph had to name two of his sons. And something that I want you to think about when it comes to taking your impossibilities to God is that God will take you through some of your biggest challenges of your life. But look what Joseph said when it came to his two sons and their names, because it's very important to think about this. It says in chapter 41, verse 51, it says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn. Now remember, he just got out of prison. Pharaoh had elevated him to second in command beside himself. He gave him a beautiful wife of stature, and they had two children, two boys. And the first son, they said in 51 of chapter 41, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And this, let's look what the word of God says. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Now, he doesn't realize that in the passage of time, he's going to get to see his father and his brothers and all his kinsmen. But right now, he's got the wife, he's got the two kids, and he's naming them saying the Lord has allowed him to forget. Because some of us hold on and remember all the pain, all the suffering, all the feeling like nobody cares, like you're all alone, feeling like you're just never going to make it, that just you're just nobody. All that despair and disappointment, that's what you remember. But you have to remember that scripture back in Matthew that says, with God, all things are possible. But look what it says in verse 52. It says, in the name of the second, meaning his second son, he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Some of us may not understand God's favor. That even in the midst of us going through some overwhelming things in our lives, that the Lord is always with us. And if we hold on and believe that God is with us, he's going to overcome all of the circumstances in your life, all the battles, all those hardships, all that crap that you're going through and thinking you can't make it and thinking that you're hopeless. I don't know what was going through that 18-year-old's mind. He'd lost his mother. There was tragedy. He was in despair and grief. As some of us go through those things. I lost my dad at 10. I understand how it feels to be lost and feel like, what's going to happen? I'm going to be all by myself. But God discomforted me. And I pray that there's somebody that's listening that God is letting you know that you're not by yourself. He promises to never leave you or forsake you. But I want to let you see something else that happened in Genesis chapter 50. That in the midst of some impossibilities, God is always showing us through all these scriptures how he can overcome impossible situations with our family and the relationships. That you had brothers that hated their brother enough to sell them. You had a brother that was sold and went through all that he went through. But look what happens here. He finds in the situation of the story where he brings his father and his brothers and all their families to Egypt and they live in Goshen. But what happens is when the father dies, when Jacob, who's known as Israel, dies, the brothers start to scheme because they can't believe the impossibility that God can allow you to forgive the unforgivable. And here's what happens in verse 15 of chapter 50. It says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite or pay us back for the evil which we did to him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did comment before he died, saying, this is a lie. The brothers don't have confidence that God can even overcome unforgiveness. And he says, verse 17, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did it unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto him. I was telling my husband earlier today, the words Joseph wept. The brothers, like some of us, don't understand that God can overcome the impossibilities of our lives. the impossibilities of unforgiveness, of hate. I just want you to understand that even here it says that Joseph said unto them, after he wept, he said, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But for as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as is this day, to save much people alive. Therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now, if you can see this example, Joseph's brothers hated him. But in the end, God gave him a loving heart to forgive. And for some of us, the despair and disappointment and anger and grief and all those emotions are because we have not forgiven. And God is saying, bring all of that to him. Let him know what's going on with you. There's a scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Some of us are anxious and overwhelmed because we're holding on to things that only God can overcome. I know my daughter said there was a question. I am over the time, but I will allow the question that I'll answer after the fact if you just send me a message and I'll direct message and give you feedback. But I just want to share with you, if there is something in your life that you are in such despair about, that you want to feel that nobody cares and you're hopeless, that's not true. It's been on my heart this night that we as Christian believers need to ask the honest questions to people. Are you okay? And if they say, yeah, I'm fine. None of us are fine without Christ. None of us are fine without Christ. And if you feel that you're all by yourself and that no one cares, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The Lord Jesus cared enough for you to give his life so that you would spend eternity with him, with his love, with his forgiveness, with his understanding. Nothing is ever so hopeless that you need to take your life or feel that you don't matter to God, because you mattered so much that he said, I'll die for you. If it's just you, I'll die for you. So I thank you for joining us for Milkshake Monday. And again, if there are questions, just go to the Milkshake Monday group and join, and I'll be glad to give your feedback on any question you may have. I love you. God bless.